afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and thank you for joining Financial Survival today. Hey, it's been a few days since I've had to welcome the listeners to Financial Survival. I almost forgot my place there, but once again, thank you for joining us today. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Tuesday, May 29th, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Miss Melody. How are you today?
I'm doing just fantastic. Thank you very much.
Me too.
Very rested after a long weekend. And so,
I had a wonderful weekend, but I was telling you before the program, I had some people getting from a family from New York, and my two of my cousins, 14, 15-year-old girls, and girls are a little bit different to handle than boys. But anyway. Oh,
we heard that story already.
Oh, golly.
I'm exposing you.
I know you are. I know you are. I had a great weekend, but I'm tired.
Oh, good.
Good weekend, well, though.
Not too tired for the program.
No, I'm not. And matter of fact, I'm going to start off with something I think everyone out there will enjoy.
Yes.
It. I know we got a lot of serious stuff covered, but this is kind of serious,
And just to let the listeners know, I usually start with the market report, but Butch wanted to share this story with you. So
I do.
We'll do this before the market report, then we can get right into what's happening in and around the
world. It's a vocabulary lesson. I think you enjoy it. It says, can anyone tell the difference between completed and finished? No dictionary has ever been able to define the difference between completed and finished. However, in a linguistic conference held in London, England, Hasan Javad, a Pakistani-American, was a clever winner. His final challenge was this. His response was, when you marry the right woman, you are complete. If you marry the wrong woman, you are finished. And when the right woman catches you with the wrong woman, you're completely finished. His answer received a 5-minute standing ovation. Now, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
There's a difference between complete and finished. That answers it right there. Now we're getting into serious stuff.
Okay.
There you go.
Let's go ahead and get into some serious, and what a wonderful way to start the week of programs. Today we have gold was up a little bit today, up $4.20, $1,302. We have silver, still pressure on silver, down 5 cents today at $16.48. Platinum was up 2 at 910, and palladium was down 7 at $983. The USDX today, of course, was stronger with what's happening in Europe. We'll be talking about that, plus 42 at 94.84. Crude oil had another big day down, $1.29 at 66.59. It was, what, a week ago. It was closing in on, what, 72, 73, 74.
So the prices haven't dropped yet. The prices haven't dropped yet.
Not in the gasoline prices.
No, they have not.
So a big hit there. And let's go ahead and go to the paper markets. At one point in that time, they were down over 500 points. They whittled them back. The last half hour of trade, the Dow is down 391 points at 24,361. The NASDAQ was down 37 points at 7,396. The S&P was down 31 at 2,689. The 10-year yield, an incredible drop in the 10-year yield, 2.77%. It was a week ago. We were at, what, week and a half, 3.11?
Yep.
So a huge drop, and that means buyers. And, you know, and I saw a report not too long ago that somebody was talking about, oh, everybody is buying these treasuries and so forth. When you see drops like this in the yield, then you got people buying. It's something to take notice. The euro got hammered down 0.76 at 115, and European and Asian markets were all done. Europe was down anywhere from 0.25% to Germany to 1.5%. Hong Kong was down over 1%. The talk about the fear and greed index, we were moving up there close to 60 at the end of last week. Today, we're back into fear territory at 36. And so some big days in the market. And what it is being blamed on is, of course, Italy.
Yes.
Italy is having this is what they're blaming it on. Now, So this is the crisis of late. It's a political crisis, and it is causing everyone to say that it is causing global investors to freak out. You did have markets around the world plunge today. Investors demanded higher yields in return for taking on Italian government debt. Now, we're talking about Italian government debt. The main stock index in Italy extended its losses for the week, dropping another 3%. The country's banks were hardest hit, with some stocks falling by over 5%. The investors are worried that the political turmoil in Italy could cause pain beyond the country's borders, and the yields not only on Italy's bonds, but on their debt, but Spanish, Portuguese, and Greek debt also surged. You had the U.S. stocks opened a little bit lower. So Italy is heading into new elections after the populist politicians failed to form a government. And these parties could gain even more ground. Investors are worried that the vote will turn to a de facto referendum on the euro. That means bye-bye EU. The big risk is that the Italian politicians are going to stop following the rules of the euro, or perhaps even seek to ditch the currency. And the euro dropped 1% against the dollar today as these concerns continue to show as a reflection of the investors. Italy has the third largest economy in the eurozone. It accounts for about 15% of the region's GDP. It's bigger than Greece. And it's not clear what platform populists will run on the new elections. A lot of analysts say it's unlikely that Italy would stop using the euro, but they already tagged a couple of names. The one I like is Quitaly. I like that one. Still, you're looking at any increased spending by a new Italian government certainly would mark up the tensions. They've had years of stagnation. There's been lack of reform. It's pushed the Italy's government debt above $2.3 trillion, and that's in U.S. dollars. It's equivalent to more than 130% of annual economic output, and that's the third highest level of indebtedness in the world after Japan and Greece. So, and what's interesting is the majority of Italy's government debt is owned by the Italians. The European Central Bank owns a pretty big chunk, along with some banks and investors in France and Germany and Spain, but the government debt is owned by the Italians. And so the voters, they're a little unhappy with the status quo. They don't want to leave the euro. They know they don't like the thought of it because that part of their savings is going to go down the drain in an exit from the euro. So there were some bank stocks in Spain that were down by about 6%, and they have their own political problems, and as they're facing a confidence vote in the parliament on Friday. So I saw a lot of our banks. You had two of our big banks. They were down considerable today, which surprises me after the big increase they've had after all that regulation was rolled back. I can go on.
Well, I want to ask this question, if you don't mind. What happened to Brexit?
Well, they're working on it. She's still working on it.
She's still working on it. Okay. And what if Italy joins and leaves the European EU too? What would that really mean to the world economically, you think?
Well, I think really what you're seeing is people are getting fed up with their governments.
I agree.
And they're, you know, and I they're going by way of Trump. They're going by the way of Brexit. They're going by, so it's not good for the euro. It's not good for the debt. And you have to remember that all the stimulus, the European Central Banks, all those banks in Italy, I mean, they've been propping them up for years. I mean, there were limits on some of their big banks, I believe at the end of this year, maybe even a year ago in December, to where, you know, they could only withdraw a certain amount of money per week. So there was a lot of limitations on these banks and you know, we just haven't heard anything about what is going on in Europe. It's a big little secret. You know, they have all this stimulus, all this free money, cheap money, pumping up these economies, and it's a sign that it's unraveling. People are beginning to understand.
Yes, and it has to happen. It really does. And it could mean chaos, not just there, but all around the world. But, Melody, the debts can't be paid. They're going to be defaulted on.
Absolutely.
So I just, that's going to mean a lot of problems for a lot of people. But the people are getting fed up with this, as we are in this country. There's just so much you can tolerate. No matter what the outcome or no matter what the pain, eventually you got to face it and make a move.
They were able to keep Greece together, kept, bailing them out, and but they're nowhere near what Italy faces. And what happens is those yields on those bonds rise so much in order for people to entice people to buy the debt, then they get so high that it collapses the system because they can't service the debt.
That's true.
I can remember during the crisis, they were looking around, Italy was almost bankrupt when they were looking at about a 7%, I think it was 7 or 8%, might have been higher than that back so many years ago. So, and they were able to drop those rates. So, look what was happening here. We were over 3%. If it had continued that trend, there's several reasons why rates rise, but it does attract buyers. And people do go to the U.S. dollar. People do go into bonds as a safe haven first because it's a quick way to move money. You can't move billions of dollars into gold at the click of a dime or a snap of your fingers. So at first, you'll see money go into the U.S. treasuries. Then you'll begin to see some of this money begin to flow into the gold market as people continue to seek a safe haven and they have time to move their money around and so forth. So,
I just read an article here mentioned gold. The axis of gold said it would drive gold higher by the end of 2018. It says a major blind spot in U.S. strategic economic doctrine is the increasing use of physical gold by China, Russia, Iran, Turkey, and others, both avoid the impact of U.S. sanctions and create an offensive counterweight to U.S. dominance of dollar payment systems. This gold-based payment system will dilute and ultimately eliminate the impact of U.S. dollar-based sanctions. If and when that happens, that's going to hurt this nation tremendously financially, is it not?
Well, of course, and any move away from the U.S. dollar is going to hurt this country, and we've seen it happen. China's made statements before; they don't believe there should be a one currency reserve, a one reserve currency, and then they're going to do whatever is possible to stem the rest of the world away from there. They have used their debt to build infrastructure. They've gone around the world. They made arrangements. They made trade agreements. They made friends around the world. What has the United States done? We've continued to bail ourselves out. We continue to print money. Our infrastructure goes into keeping Wall Street happy. That's where our debt goes.
And not only that, we shafted other nations by doing that.
Absolutely.
Stuck them in the back.
We've held up and we've helped Europe, through their financial crisis. And it's this might not be the point where it all breaks, but again, we live in really incredible times where
we do.
Again, we're gonna wake up one morning and everything is going to be different. People always try to argue with me, this and cryptocurrency, I'm tired of gold. Gold hasn't done anything. I haven't made anything, and I want to do this and so forth. Anything that you trade your gold for, and if you don't convert your paper dollars into gold, you're going to lose it. Heck,
that's
even the
exactly
Italian,
right.
The Italian people understand.
They
think they're going to lose.
It has to, because a fake financial system that is nothing, there's nothing real about it, is a phantom. It's going to disappear one day. It's going to just fade off into the vapor. And the vapor, I was reading this right here, it says one of the most pervasive myths about the United States is that the federal government has never defaulted on its debts. There's just one problem, and it's not true. And while a few people remember that Gold Claws case of 1930s, that episode holds valuable lessons for leaders today. And this next couple paragraphs are interesting. There was a time, decades ago, when the U.S. behaved like a banana republic, then advanced economy, restructuring debts unilaterally and retroactively. They're still doing that. Not just 1930s, folks. They're still doing that. In April 1933, in an effort to help the U.S. escape the Great Depression, President Franklin Roosevelt announced plans to take the U.S. gold off the standard and devalue the dollar. This would not be easy, as FDR calculated. Most debt contracts, listen to this, Melody, I didn't know this. Most debt contracts at the time included a gold clause, which stated that the debtor must pay in gold coin or gold equivalent. I did not know that. I should have known that because the dollar backed by gold then. But you couldn't pay with anything but gold or something that was backed by gold. Wow. What do we have today? Fiat currencies backed by nothing that we use to pay debts? Or do we just pass debts? I did not know this, Melody. This, when I read this, it should have made sense before I even thought about reading it. But back then, you couldn't do anything but gold.
Correct.
What has happened to us in the last 100 years has absolutely destroyed this nation's economy. And our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, especially said, when the private banks take over, and how they knew this long ago, they would destroy the nation by debt and by boom and bust cycles, and they've done that. And up until 1930 and 1930s, only gold and silver were money. And today, thanks to Roosevelt and some others since then, we have nothing of value in our money system.
There was one of my favorite writers is Doug Noland, and I put many of his articles into our newsletter on a weekly basis, and he just fascinates me because what he writes is just so spot on. He doesn't sensationalize about anything. He gives you the facts. He gives you the truth, and he talks about the bubble that we're in. He talks about the stimulus-induced bull markets that we've seen, and every once in a while it was interrupted by some bout of risk off. And all these times when it was interrupted, they were all short-lived. You've had central bankers through talk and our more aggressive stimulus measures. They quickly extinguish any fears. We've had zero rates. We've had massive and unrelenting quantitative easing that reinforced this greed. And this has gone on way too long.
Yes.
And it's his view that the central bank measures to guarantee a buoyant and liquid markets is at the end. And we're at the end of the first break, or at the end of the first segment going into a break, and we'll be right back. I'm Melody Cederstrom with Pastor Butch Paul, and you're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Butch Paul, and he'll be joining us also tomorrow and Thursday. A big week here with Pastor Butch Paul. Dave Allen had a previous engagement for tomorrow, and he'll be returning on Friday. Going into the break, we were talking about, I was talking about Doug Nolan and his blogspot, creditbubblebulletin.blogspot.com. And he talks about all this stimulus that's being pumped into the market just to keep everything going along, record highs, and, you know, they quickly eliminate, they extinguish the fear that might crop into these markets, the perception that these central banks will always backstop liquidity has incentivized a degree of speculative leverage. And he says now the world is now on contagion watch. He says more and more de-risking, de-leveraging, dynamics are encroaching on greed. The Fed is raising rates. Global central banks are winding down quantitative easing. Shrinking pool of new quantitative easing liquidity confronts a rapidly expanding pool of speculative holding liquidations. You know, again, the world has been synchronized with this QE just to keep these economies from collapsing. And where do you think we are today? How long can they continue to do it? I don't think very long. So, you know, we hold our breaths, and we should enjoy the calm before the storm.
I agree.
We've had a long calm before the storm.
Well, you know, but they keep pulling a rabbit out of the hat. But eventually, it's got to come to an end somewhere. It has to. It just has to.
When the conditions aren't ripe, yeah, you'll see an unwinding. And is this the big unwinding today with the stock market down 500 points and Italy's crisis? We'll have to see how the central banks manage the crisis in Italy. And
What's happening with China?
Well, China, today the White House said the administration would proceed with its proposal to impose 25% tariffs on $500 billion worth of goods and place new limits on Chinese investments in U.S. high-tech industry. The Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said a trade war with China was on hold less than 10 days ago. And Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross is expected in Beijing on Saturday to help ease trade tensions between the two major trading partners. So it doesn't seem like the trade war with China is on hold anymore. Beijing had previously pledged to retaliate against the 25% tariffs. President plans to take multiple steps to protect domestic technology and intellectual property from certain discriminatory and burdensome trade practices by China. There's going to be a list of covered imports subject to tariffs that's going to be announced by June 15th. These tariffs will take effect shortly thereafter. Proposed investment restrictions will be announced by June 30th and also take effect at a later date. And it was just announced today that I guess Ivanka Trump had several more of her patents approved in China. So, you know, it's just, you just can't, everybody get, well, it's just a coincidence. I don't think it is, Butch.
You think because your daddy's president. Now, come on.
And, I mean, you've had the reversal on the ZTE. There's been several patents approved, but I think there was like seven or eight just approved. this week or today, I guess. And it's interesting, the timing. And
well, what kind of patent were they, Melody?
Oh, she's got all kinds of patents in China. She's got furniture and clothing and jewelry and you name it. They have patents. They're trying to get patents on everything in China. And that's what always upsets me so, is because I hear people, and again, yes, I'm going to give Trump a chance. Don't, you know, but we do have to talk about these things. You know, people say to me, well, Trump is not taking a salary. It's like, no, he's not. Kudos to him. On the other hand, how many millions and billions of dollars do you think they're going to make after this presidency? I'd give up $400,000 a year to make billions, or for my children to make billions. You know, so, you look at the ZTE, you look at, these funds that are being transferred around, $500 million to certain Trump accounts and so forth for, I don't know, Malaysia properties or Indonesia properties. I can't recall which one. So, it should bring questions. People should at least ask questions. People should at least talk about it without putting me on a bad list because I'm talking about things.
Well, I would think that any person, anyone that's lived in this world more than through two or three terms of any president, and let's say they've been here through the last 30 years, should be wondering about the motives of anyone in office. I don't. Maybe perhaps Trump's heart and intentions are pure. I'm not saying they're not. But after all the years' experience of what they've done to us as a nation, as a people, doesn't it behoove us to be cautious? I mean, doesn't it make common sense to just think that way?
But you can also look at the connections. I mean, has anyone ever talked good about Kissinger? And yet he's been to the White House, what, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times?
Yep, exactly. And he is one of the most, the biggest insiders of the whole idea of what we call the New World Order, and a whole lot more than that. He is absolutely... how can you put it? Almost one of the top kingpins in this whole movement. You know that.
Same way with Rothschilds.
Yes,
exactly. Before the Trump presidency, the Rothschilds was, hey, they're the ones who controlled everything. So you would think that when President Trump has connections, Wilbur Ross's Commerce Secretary worked for the Rothschilds, helped bail Trump out in one of his bankruptcies.
Yes, he did. Rothschilds bailed them out. When you mess with the Rothschilds, with the Red Shields is the right name, you're messing with powers that are evil beyond words, and they control a huge portion of the world in a lot of different areas.
So, are you not obligated? Of course you are.
Not only
are
obligated,
those relationships?
Common sense, I tell us that, for goodness sake. That you look it over, you question these things. Melody, I mean, it's not because we want to put anybody down or doubt anyone's motives necessarily. But when you see all these connections coming together and connect all the dots, it's making a picture, is it not?
Well, it should. It should. But it makes me curious. It makes me curious, and the timing of everything. I mean, so again, it's maybe we won't know for another 4 years or 2 years. I'm personally one that I don't think Trump will be elected for a second term. Even the Republicans might be able to hold their position after the November elections. I don't know. I mean, because we're living in such strange times that, whatever makes sense doesn't, and what's right is wrong, and wrong is right, more so than I can remember.
Well, there's a huge move right here in West Virginia taking place right now, coming up this November. Don Blankenship ran in a primary to be senator of this state against Manchin. Manchin was a Democrat. He's Blankenship with a Republican. But he ran against Morsi and five other Republicans, and Morsi won. Blankenship, and I know this to be a fact, was railroaded by the feds, put in prison, a federal prison, for a year, actually it was a halfway house, as you say, on a misdemeanor. He never was convicted of a felony at all. He was just totally railroaded. But he has now chosen and have been nominated and drafted by the Constitution Party in the state to run as an independent on the Constitution Party. And this man's making waves in this state. He has the incumbents a little bit nervous, Melody, because he's going to pull enough votes from one or the other. It's going to cause the defeat of at least one of them, and even maybe swing the election in his favor. Now, I'm meeting with Don Blankenship on the 6th of next month for dinner in Clarksburg, West Virginia, to ask him questions and make some try to get some information from him that I might want to share with everybody and have on the program, in our program in the future, and yours also. But this is huge. This could upset the balance of power big time. Can you imagine if a third party candidate won the office as totally independent from any Republican or Democratic platform? That could make a difference, couldn't it?
It could.
So this is a little bit exciting. Scary, too, but exciting also.
And, I thought that the last election would have been perfect for a third party. Would have been perfect for a third party to get in there, because they would have been given, because you had half the media or most of the media, you didn't like Trump. And I think a third party candidate would have been excellent. I mean, heck, look how much Johnson. Look at the attention that Johnson got, and considering his interviews and so forth. So if you had somebody in there that was really credible, it would have been a good opportunity. But then again, we talk about elections being fixed. We talk about
I was going to say, you haven't met Blankenship yet. I've just talked to him on the phone. And you heard somebody being deadpan. I mean, there's not much expression on his face. He just, talks as if he's intelligent. He doesn't give away a whole lot of emotion. And I think that's important, especially to run for office like this. He's very level-headed. So I'm excited about talking to the man in person in a week or so and seeing what he has to offer beyond the rhetoric that we've heard so far, maybe a lot more than I know. But if it's worthwhile, I'll let you know and your listeners know.
Yes, please, sir.
And we'll get him on the programs to share his thoughts, because the man has the money to run and make a serious run at it. So this is exciting.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But,
go ahead.
There was a new list of the world's most valuable brands is out. China has claimed two of the top spots for the first time. You have Alibaba that's joined the top 10 alongside a Chinese tech group called Tencent, as well as in the list of 10, you have Google and Apple. But ranked at number 9, Jack Ma's Alibaba has seen its brand nearly double to $113 billion as the e-commerce company expanded further into fields such as mobile payments and cloud computing. The Tencent company is a Shenzhen-based Tencent broke out into the top 10 ranking in 2017. It's been gaining strength. But it's just kind of interesting to see these two companies in there. And the list of the top 10, you have Google, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, Tencent, Facebook, Visa, McDonald's, Alibaba, and AT&T. It's pretty much all tech. I mean,
and McDonald's hanging in there. McDonald's hung in there. Yeah. I mean, that's a hair in the biscuit. I mean, they hung in there,
Which is really interesting,
It is. It really is.
Yeah. Frightening, too. Interesting and frightening that the world is eating McDonald's.
I believe they're trying to change their appearance a little bit. They are trying to, I think, do some things healthier, although I still don't eat there. But they're doing some things that I think a little differently. I believe they're starting to catch on to a few things people really want. But I said, that's amazing. Top 10, with all the rest you mentioned, they have nothing in common.
Nope, totally opposite, because all the other companies are basically high-tech. You also have Visa in there. What's interesting, too, I think what they're going to eventually, depending on how all this plays out and how much money is left to the people and so forth, I have listened to Jack Ma of Alibaba, and what he wants to do is he really wants to open up his company and like Amazon to where, like, we can buy and sell to the people in China online, you know, to make it accessible, right. I think that's where you're really going to see these cryptocurrencies. I'm not so sure you're going to use cryptocurrencies in your domestically. That I don't believe. But I think in order to these blockchains or these cryptocurrencies will be to open up Amazon to the world, open up Alibaba to the world. I don't know. If we continue to go down this globalized world, I mean, that's not as far-fetched as some of these other things that are going on. But
it's getting more likely every day, obviously.
Yeah.
It really is. And, you know, but more back on a local basis here, an article here that I'm looking at, and I've seen this happen. This is, I'm talking about two states right now in particular, New Jersey and Kentucky. Kentucky, of course, just right next door to us. And the pension funds could run dry. If the economy slows down at all, according to this article, their pensions could run dry. And Kentucky has had a school strike. The teachers demanding more benefits in the pension. Now, the pensions have no money now. I mean, there's no money in the bank. The benefits already outstrip what they have in the bank as pension funds. So they're living off the money that's going into them now and paying it to those who've retired and moved on. And I'm convinced these are not the only two states having this problem. Illinois is all but out of business. There's more besides that. They've made promises that they just can't keep. But the teachers, for one branch in Kentucky, is striking for more, and they can't afford to pay what they got. I mean, is that really insane? How much blood can get out of a turnip?
Well, they'll put it on the backs of the old taxpayer and property owners, you know, because they won't say anything. Nobody says anything.
No, they don't. They just grin and bear it. But Kentucky was going to actually start reducing pension benefits a little bit, and that led to the strike. So I understand when you work for 30, 40 years, you want what you're promised. I understand that. But if it is impossible, what do you do? Pass it on to the next retirement bunch, kick the can down the road one more time. That's what you're doing, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Eventually, somebody's got to pay for that, and they got to stand up and realize this just ain't going to work, and we're going to be up the creek. That's just the way it is.
You know, there was the... we're heading into a break. We'll talk a little bit about North Korea, and we'll also talk a little bit about Iran. And some more financial news when we come back, right after these few short messages. Please stay tuned.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And let me see if I still have those numbers. I wanted to see it close to the end of the month. It's 29th of May. I went into the U.S. Mint to just see how well the new Silver Eagles were doing and the American Gold Eagles were doing for the month of May. Actually, the month of May for Gold Eagles really had a decent pop from, you know, since January, which still minuscule, but you had 18,000 ounces of gold that was sold from the mint, and those are the current years. So what it's telling me, that last month it was 4,500. So a lot of folks, we've been selling a lot of the backdated Gold Eagles because the premiums were a little bit lower, and I'd say those probably have run out, and now we're having to go to 2018s. And I think that's maybe why you've seen that little bit of an increase in May for the American Gold Eagles. The Silver Eagles did pathetic. I can't believe at this point in time they have sold only 380,000 Silver Eagles.
What is it normally, right? Melody? What is it normally in a decent year?
Oh my gosh! This will be the worst year we've probably had since 2002, 2003, somewhere around in there.
Really?
Last month there was almost a million. The month before, for the past 3 months, we didn't hit a million. It was close. It was 900 some thousand. January was 3.2 million.
Oh, that's quite a drop.
Yeah, it certainly is.
And that's my favorite coin of all of them. You know that.
Yes.
I like that coin. And I do.
I mean, for the past couple of years, we've been running, I don't know, 40 million per year on the Silver Eagles. We're barely over 6 million at right now. And
we're almost halfway through the year.
It's halfway through the year.
Wow.
So, I mean, it can quickly turn around. It just goes to show people want to know why the prices of gold and silver are so low and why they hasn't taken off. Well, this is part of the reason. You have 26,000 record Dows, record numbers in the stock markets. People aren't interested. You had the Bitcoins. People are sidetracked. People think they're getting left behind because you have a lot of analysts out there that are not providing the truth about gold and silver. They're misleading people, telling Bitcoin's better than gold. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. They
that's fraud.
A computer glitch is always better than gold.
Being hacked is better than gold.
Oh, good. Wow. The ignorance of these people is unbelievable.
So, it's So those are the part of the reasons. Yes, they manipulate the prices down. You know, particularly look what we've seen with Iran, and none of our problems are really getting fixed. And to me, I don't see any solutions in any of these problems that are being created. You have Iranian officials that are plotting with U.S. allies across the globe to develop a series of measures meant to counter the new sanctions by this administration after the nuclear deal was withdrawn, or we withdrew from the nuclear deal. Iran is going around the globe plotting with our allies. I mean, does anybody
Flying with their friends. With our friends, they're plotting. Wow.
Yeah, they have Iranian leaders. They disclosed today that they had recently held some high-level meetings with the European Union nations, leaders in India, Thailand, to explore options for skirting the new U.S. sanctions. The efforts and the warm reception it is receiving from many nations. So Iran is getting a warm reception.
Well, you know, there was a time when this wouldn't have been such a big deal, but now it's a global economy. It truly is. I hate to say that. I really hate saying it. It just disgusts me.
Yes.
But each nation's hooked to the other nation. You know that. We are, too.
Yes.
That's just the way it works. So it is a big deal anymore. If somebody burps, somebody else, you know, hiccups. I mean, that's the way it is. And I don't like it. I don't like it. It means we lost our independence. We lost our sovereignty. But that's what it is. We can ignore if you want to, but you know, I have an article here that says why America is heading straight toward the worst debt crisis in history. And I got to share this because I think it's very well to the point. Today, America is nearly $70 trillion in debt, and that debt is shooting higher at an exponential rate. Usually, most of the focus is on the national debt, which is now $21 trillion and rising. But when you total all forms of debt in our society together, it comes to a grand total just short of $70 trillion. Many people seem to believe that the debt imbalances that existed prior to the great financial crisis of 2008 have been solved, but that's not the case at all. We're living in it in the terminal phase of the greatest debt bubble in history, and with each passing day, that mountain of debt just keeps on getting bigger and bigger. It simply is not mathematically possible for debt to keep on growing at a pace that is many times greater than the GDP growth, and at the same point, this absurd bubble will come to an abrupt end. So those that are forecasting many years of prosperity to come are simply being delusional. Our current standard of living is very heavily fueled by debt, and at some point we are going to hit a wall. Americans are in a borrowing mood, and the total tab for consumer debt could reach a record $4 trillion in 2018. That's according to the LendingTree, a loan comparison website, which analyzed data from the Federal Reserve on non-mortgage debts, including credit cards, and auto, personal, and student loans. $4 trillion on credit cards, auto, and personal loans, Melody. That's a lot of money that people are going in debt for. I don't know about
it's
you.
It's a lot of debt.
That's a lot of debt. And personal, I'm talking about personal debt. I hate debt. I despise going in debt. I always have. And I would like to have a small SUV. I have a nice little car, but I need something with a little more go power here in the winter. But I don't want to go in debt. I guess you call me a cheapskate. But because I've been a cheapskate, I've always been able to pay my bills off. And to me, that's been a big relief. Bob Chapman used to beat that in my head, and everybody said all the time, get out of debt, get out of debt, get out of debt. And I took his word for it. And Melody, Cedar Stream, it feels good to go to bed at night not owing anybody a dime.
You ought to open up a bank account. There is a little town in Missouri called Tightwad.
Tightwad.
And it basically consists of a bank. People from all over the country get their open bank accounts there because it was because of Tightwad.
I like that. I do. But, you know, I mean, I can go out and borrow money and go in debt, and I can have a nice big SUV, but then I got to pay for it. Have you ever noticed that monthly bills come due every month?
They certainly do.
And they have no pity. I don't care what it's electricity bill or phone bill or insurance bill or car payment. The banks don't really care if you had a slow month or not. They really don't give a hoot about that. They don't care if you were sick. They don't care if your spouse died. They want their payment, don't they?
Yes, they do.
So
you know,
there you go.
I saw an interview with this, and I shouldn't talk about it because there was a swear word in the title of this book, so I don't want to say it on the radio. But basically, he went around this country, and he was interviewing people. And he says, this country is in such shambles. And he says, and he actually brought up, you know, about since we've been off the gold standard. And this guy was not a conservative writer by any means. He was actually being interviewed, I think, on, you know, one of the liberal stations. He was crude, and I mean, I didn't like his attitude and so forth when he was interviewed. But the point of this book was this country's in trouble, and the people around this world, around this country, are having difficult times. It's not easy. We're being lied to. The economy is not great as they tell us it is. You know, people aren't out there, you know, thriving. They can't pay their bills. They can't pay their debts. Even if they, you know, they can't get out of debt. There's no jobs out there. I saw an article today where, what was it, Walmart. We're back to Walmart is, let me see if I can pull it up real quick. Half of Walmart's workers are part-time.
That's true. Very true. Yes.
But they were the first ones after the tax report to come out and say, hey, we're going to give everybody a $1,000 bonus. Well, yeah, why don't you give them full-time jobs? They probably appreciate that more. Maybe a little health benefit.
Well, maybe, you know, that's why benefit. They don't do it. That's why they don't do it. I mean, that would really cost them a fortune to give everybody health benefits, especially in Obamacare.
And they're one of the wealthiest companies in the world.
That's right. They are. They truly are. So yeah, this is, I mean, if you can live on part time, and I don't care if they pay them $15-18 an hour, 20 hours a week just don't hack it, does it?
No, it doesn't.
And, you know, I mean, it's just the way it is. And I know people that I know personally are struggling, and they're good people. They're working hard, literally working hard at it, but they can't even afford to buy their medicine. Now I'm telling the truth. I just talked to them today. Matter of fact, they just loaned one of them money to buy medicine with. That's how tight it is. So, yeah, it's booming all right. I haven't seen much around here, but it's booming somewhere, I reckon. I know where it's at. Trump, Melania Trump has got her patents down. Maybe we all go to work for her.
Ivanka.
I'll go work for her. You know, what?
You know, I always said I would keep my mouth, you know, I wouldn't say anything more. Once I see manufacturing come back into this country. And where is it? Where is it?
It's supposed to have started already.
You know, I mean, I even knew that if we did see some manufacturing, it would take years.
Oh, you can revert
years.
Just to rebuild the infrastructure to bring it back to. The steel mills and the automakers, just to rebuild their factories. That's not going to happen in 6 months.
And look at what has happened with just the threat of these tariffs.
I know, yes. I know that.
And I'm for tariffs. I mean, I believe in tariffs.
Tariffs are the only lawful way for the federal government to pay its bills.
Yep. But we're beyond the point.
We are beyond the point. We are. But, you know, and I got to ask a question, though. You're talking about oil prices coming down. Of course, we're not seeing it at the pump yet. But you probably already know this, I'm sure, but we are really producing a lot of oil in this country now, especially with shale. And they said that the shale fields are at a record pace and propelled the U.S. output to roughly double in a decade, which could swing, make us the producer, the difference in the producer market in the whole world, long held by Saudi Arabia. But Saudi Arabia still gets to call the shots on the oil market. And I'm not real sure why that is. But they still are the ones who set the prices basically for oil all over the world, although the U.S. is producing, well, almost as much oil as they are now. And it doesn't seem to make a lot of difference in the price of our gas, does it?
No, it doesn't. You know, they'll still be able to call the shots because they still have the petrodollar, and you still got the agreement with the United States. But I've been reading some articles about all of these arrangements with the Saudis, and again, the money that's being transferred in the agreements and the shaking of hands between the administration and so forth. So I really don't even know anymore. It is really hard to... I mean, at least in some of these past presidents, you could always... It was pretty easy to figure them out and to see what they were doing wrong and so forth. And with this administration, it's a little more difficult to see if the dots are actually connecting properly. But it's fascinating, but it doesn't take away from the fact that each and every one of us is going to be impacted by, I believe, a reset of our economy, not here, but around the world. Because we're all interconnected, just like what you said. I don't like it.
No, I don't like it. And if the world resets, we're going to have to reset. We have no choice.
We have no choice.
It's going to happen. And I don't know what that's going to mean exactly, but it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt very deeply. I don't think people realize exactly how much it's going to hurt. I don't realize how much it's going to hurt. I really don't. But it's going to hurt. You know, we have people in countries like Venezuela, and this sounds awful, but it's true. Husbands and wives go out on the streets and sell themselves to buy food. I'm serious. In the Middle East, they set their daughters go out and serve as soldiers for some food. Now, that sounds terrible. But when the family's starving, what will you do? What will you do when your children are starving, Melody? That's a good question, is it not?
It is a good question.
But no one wants to buy a water field. No one wants to stock up on storable food. No one wants to buy gold and silver. Heck, everything's fine. I'm eating good, and the TV set still works, and ball game's coming on. Let me be. Besides, I'm waiting for the rapture. Yeah, I mean, I just don't know what... I don't get it. How come we think we're so different from any other nation that we'll never be in that place of hurt and want? I just don't get it.
No, I don't either. And the only time it seems to come to one's attention is after situations have already begun.
Yeah, yes.
Maybe it's just human nature.
Just spraying water on the house after the house is burned, you know?
Yeah. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I will return tomorrow along with Pastor Butch Paul. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. Thank you.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.